instead of the station I should have been listening to, which is WBAI. I ended up in that situation because of the events of December 22nd, 2000. I actually came to the United States about 15 years ago and soon after discovered WBAI and became a diehard listener. It represented for me much of what I had come to the United States for: freedom of expression, diversity, grassroots participation, community activism. All of that changed, and since December 22nd, the situation has only deteriorated. The quality of the programming now leaves much, much to be desired. Instead of high-quality intellect, we hear scurrilous attacks on individuals, including staff members, producers, members of the board, people at other stations. We hear racist remarks, we hear sexist remarks, we hear homophobic attacks. Yesterday and this morning, and a lot of last week, we descended to new lows. I'm a journalist as well. I write for a group of Indian ethnic media. And every time last week I heard Paul DiRienzo and Clayton Riley discuss how they did not know where this board meeting was taking place, when they told people to come at 6 o'clock on Friday, when all of us knew that the meeting was at 7, and when they told people that the public comment period was on Friday, and perhaps there may be a comment period on Saturday and Sunday, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry because I was a journalist listening to journalists on the air. And I just couldn't understand how people who belong to their own station could stand up and spread disinformation of that kind. Yesterday and today, in direct opposition to a request of the board chair to broadcast these proceedings live, we have experienced censorship, scurrilous attacks, and cutaway to music at critical times in the programming. And I'm thinking, music. And I also heard that about the Washington station going to a lot of music. And I'm thinking, when's the last time that that happened? And I'm thinking that was when Nero was fiddling while Rome was burning. And unfortunately, history teaches us that those who don't learn from their mistakes are condemned to repeat them. Now, there's a curious board dynamic here, and I have an eye on the clock, and Leslie's asking me, let's roll. So there's a curious board dynamic going on where the board apparently is not able, despite imploring, beseeching, requesting, begging the WBAI station manager to catch the sentiment of this movement, to catch the tide of the hour, and broadcast these programs live. So I'd like to just turn my request to Mr. Daughtry, and I'd like to ask Mr. Daughtry to answer me a question. How he could permit Paul and Clayton to spread disinformation and deprive Leslie and Ray LaForest of an opportunity to go on the air and tell the listeners the truth about the board meeting, and how last night, when Mr. Daughtry himself was instrumental in removing Clayton Riley from a physical attack on people participating in this room. I'm sorry if I'm going to shock you, but facts are facts and they have to be told. It's better you hear it here than you believe that you heard a rumor. I heard Mr. Clayton Riley accuse Janice Bryant, a board member, of being a syphilitic whore. Not sybaritic, not symphonic, the words are important. A syphilitic whore. He also, he wished on Leslie Kagan, our board chair, that she would choke on her next meal and die. And he called Errol Maitland, I won't use the whole word, you can guess it, a mother effer. Mr. Daughtry, I'd like to ask you, media person to media person, and sincere listener to interim acting station manager, Mr. Daughtry, please tell me, how can you permit this to go on at this time and this hour and this day? Please answer me, Mr. Daughtry.
Quiet, quiet, quiet. Just quiet, 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 quiet. Al, please. Bob, do you want to answer?
I'll address that in my comments later. I plan on speaking on that.
Okay, thank you. No, let's move on. Let's move on then. Thank you, Arun. Anthony Sloan, I have next. Anthony? Okay, hold on, everyone.
Where's Nkinji? Where you at? This is Nkinji Burch. She's handing out some stuff to the board. Nkinji's from WPFW listening area. She's what the lab should be about. She's a young black woman with a single mother. Anyway, you're going to get two documents. One is it says internal only memo. I don't want to really spend a lot of time. I just want to read the last three sentences of this package that was that I asked for from past and present producers at WBAI, and it comes from, well, let me just say this. One memo is from a young white woman. The other memo is from a young black woman. Another memo is from a middle-aged white woman on behalf of her middle-aged white husband. And the last that I'm going to read from, the last three sentences I'm going to read from, is from a middle-aged black man. Okay, so it's just a wide spectrum. There's others that were sent, but I didn't do them. I'm talking fast because I don't want to spend a lot of time. Here we go. I don't want to spend time on this. Here we go. The last three sentences. There needs to be some level of consistency. Staff has been banned for activities that were far less dangerous than some of Clayton's antics. While I would not want Clayton banned, he should relinquish the morning spot, retain his Saturday show, and actively seek assistance of a mental health professional.
Quiet, please.
I don't know if Bob Dolce doesn't give me my memo, so I'm going to give him this memo so he can have it.
Okay.
Now, what I really want to get to is this. This week, a lot of us were vilified on the air. One of the things that was said was that this meeting was going to be filled with people who don't support WBAI. Let me say something to you. I got a renewal notice in the mail. I wrote across a renewal notice, not under this management, and I sent this little memo with it. I just want to read the last three paragraphs, very short, because it pertains to what I'm going to say next. You see, WBAI is built and supported on relationships. A cabal was allowed to form on the national level. They, in turn, put Utrice Lead in place. She created a cabal. Keep quiet, please. Then Bob of the national cabal comes to WBAI, and Utrice, creator of the local cabal, continues to destroy relationships. To make this short as possible, suffice it to say, you will not be supported by this listener, supporter, volunteer, senior producer, engineer, and arts director emeritus until the incompetence and quislings are dismissed from the station. I have helped build since 1983. Later, Anthony. Postscript. Just got an email accusing Mary Frances Berry of being a bully. If this were true, it would explain the line of Barry putting Bully Wash in place, who put Bully Lead in place, as well as the wannabe Bully Daughtry in place, and they all use Pacifica Airways as Bully Pulpit. Life is stranger than fiction. One last thing, please. I am the engineer for Democracy Now. Let me say something about this. I am a very serious radio person. I take my engineering duties very seriously. One of the things I am in charge of is not only the music breaks, but also I have to make carts for this program. I made a cart, and Michael Gina has made, and I have this little thing. My carts are always under what they're supposed to be, a 28-second cart. I made it, and I brought it to the station when it was said by this interim board that Democracy Now! Was supposed to be back on the air. I got kicked out of the station. I said, well, okay, fine. I got kicked out of the station. The next week, when Democracy Now! Went on the air on every station but WBAI, I once again went to the station to deliver the card. Now, when I got to the door, a staff member, and now I guess he's acting operations director, did not want to let me in. He tried to close the door in my face. I said, no, you will not close the door in his face because I helped build this station. He said, he helped build it too. I said, fine. I left the door open. He said, I'm not supposed to be here. I said, I have no memo on that. He said, there is a memo. I said, I'll wait for the memo. I walked in the station and waited. He got on the phone calling the police talking about he's going to get me arrested. Then what happened is Matthew Finch went and got the memo. This memo was not sent to me. It's listed as October 3rd. It says, please be advised that until further notice, Anthony Sloan, I didn't read the memo at the time, Anthony Sloan is not to be allowed to WBA in any program. The situation with Democracy Now! Must be cleared up first. Okay, now Democracy Now! Was cleared up, right? So I should be there, right? Okay, here we go. This applies to anyone else with Democracy Now! Who may want to enter the station for any program. There is to be no admittance until we have reached an agreement. Now, the agreement was reached, and that cart was not allowed on the station. I was kicked out of the station. I don't understand what's going on. not only was I kicked out of the station, but that same person came down to the person at the bottom of the at the building and said I was not allowed to be in the station. The memo says I'm supposed to be in the station. What's going on here? Now let me say one more thing. This board, This board, you have to understand this. If your priority is not at least a fourth thing in your life, in other words, your family is first, maybe your job is second, maybe your religious feeling, something like that is third, but at least a fourth priority in your life has to be the Pacifica Network, then you need to remove yourself from this board. If you're here to just disrupt and not get on and not to move this organization forward, then I suggest you just step down, step away, because we have important business to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, quiet. Quiet, please. Please excuse me for the pronunciation of the next name. I'm very sorry. Part of it is the handwriting. I can't quite read it. I'm not sure it's Maninja Saba or Maminja Saba. I'm sorry if I'm...
Yes, my name is Maninja Saba, and I am going to give my spot to Mr. Basiram Chavi to talk.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, again, I really want to ask people to be brief because we still have the recommendations from the WBAI committee to hear.
Madam Chair, for a point of information.
Yes.
You indicated a few people. Looks like it could be a lot more than that. How many more people want to speak?
I believe this one and two more.
Okay.
That's why, again, if the next few people could be very brief, we'd really appreciate that.
Well, I'll try. My name is Basir M. Chawi.
Quiet, please.
I used to be the producer and host of a program called Education at the Crossroads, and we may mention that briefly. In December of 2000, after the Christmas coup, I met with Eutrice Leed, who was then the interim station manager, and I told her that COINTELPRO still lives. I told her that there were several contradictions that she needed to watch out for, that she needed to watch out for the contradiction of race, the idea that at WBAI we did not need to divide ourselves based upon black and white. We did not need to divide ourselves as Africans born here versus Africans born in the Caribbean. I warned her that there would be attempts to divide us based on gender and that there would be issues as far as dealing with the question of sexism, and that she needed to be careful in regards to those particular contradictions. Since that time, as you are aware, there have been numerous problems, and that those contradictions, as opposed to anyone having been made aware of them, Eutrice and her cabal have done everything in their power to exacerbate those contradictions at WBAI. There have been attempts to destroy and divide, and no attention has been paid to those particular items. On, as an example of this and the problems that we have faced, on July 27th, during my program at WBAI, Eutrice Leed came into the studio and accused myself and my guests of discussing her time at the City Sun. Now, the ironic thing is that no discussion of the City Sun took place during that particular program on July 27th, and people have found out about that. On January 2nd, I received a phone call from Jabel Fai, who I believe is the interim public affairs director, and he had left a message on my answering machine telling me that my program was, in effect, canceled and that there would be a new program in its place. Mr. Fai did not even have the integrity to go ahead and call me directly. And, of course, he did at that particular time have numbers at which he could have contacted me. Just a little while ago, I saw Bob Daughtry in the hallway, and I asked him what, in fact, had happened. And he told me that I'm not suspended at this particular point, although very clearly there is no program that I currently have. There are issues here very, very clearly. We are hoping this evening that the board will act to correct some of the things that have happened in the last little period of over a year. And very clearly, we need to do everything in our power to save WBAI.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I understand it. There's just two more speakers. Rosalie.
Leslie and members of the board, I'm deferring to Amawali Clay.
Okay, again, I'm sorry. I have to ask you to be very brief. We're under tremendous time pressure here.
First, let me say I want to say I'm here representing the December 12th movement. And for brothers and sisters who are listening in the streets of our communities, understand that the battle for our liberation is not only against racism, but it is a struggle that is a class struggle. And that struggle, and I want the board to understand this, and in particular I want my brother Marion Barry to understand this, because you're in New York, so I want you to hear what's happening with black folks in New York, because there's no wrong time to do what's right. The battle for BAI isn't simply a career in journalism. We have taken a position not to come on BAI until the banned and the fired are back, because more than banned and fired, there are people who took up the question on the journalistic front that is going on in our communities. When I said goodbye to Samori on our way to Addis Ababa to the OAU meeting, I didn't know when I came back he would be gone. And many people speak for him and what he stood for. But let me say this very clearly. Samori was an internationalist. He believed that critical thinking and analysis was critical to the African community. The battle at BAI is not to take back a station that belonged to us. WBAI was a white station. Let's be clear, brothers and sisters. Samori struggled to broaden and encompass into that station progressive African thought. Racism isn't over at BAI, and neither are we free. But we respect as a movement those people who stand for political principle. To have some prostitutes and pimps of our movement on the air vilifying people who have fought as part of their life to bring correct information to our community is a travesty. People who've never been involved in our community are on the air in these diatribes talking about comprador Negroes and Negro comedians. These are people who don't even exist in our community. And for those who say that this is an issue of an attack on a black woman, let's be crystal clear. The bottom line is there are many black women in the world. Congolese Rice is one of them. And let me say that this isn't about struggling for the simple sake of being black. This is about struggling for the equality and the emancipation and liberation of the masses of our people. August 17, 2002, millions of people are coming to Washington on the issue of reparation. We want BAI back online to help us organize that struggle, just like they helped organize when we were facing the Joint Terrorist Task Force in 1984. To the banned and fired, to Democracy Now!, to all of those people who have honestly, deliberately, and with commitment fought to make this happen right now, right on, freedom or death, no justice, no peace.
Thank you. Okay. Quiet, please. Okay, there's one more speaker. We have one more speaker, Aniruddha. Aniruddha Das.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you to the board. I'm Aniruddha Das, a 20-year listener to Pacifica Radio, as well as currently one of the hosts of Asia-Pacific Forum here on WBAI. And I want to talk about the way in which the selective actions and censorship of current management of Utrecht Lead and then Bob Daughtry have not only targeted those people whom they disagree with, but have really accelerated the plunge of this station into complete irrelevance over the last year, just when it has been most crucially required. Towards the end of August last year, I had a program on Indonesia and East Timor. They were in the news. At the end of the program, my guest and I discussed this outrageous charge that had been made earlier about Amy Goodman, namely that Amy had manufactured her coverage of a certain horrible massacre in Santa Cruz in East Timor. Surprisingly, shortly after that, our program was removed from the air, so that on September 11th, and in the three successive sessions when WBAI came back on air following September 11th, our program was not on air, the only progressive Asian program in the entire New York area. We were going to talk about the U.S.'s involvement in Afghanistan, in the support of the Taliban oil, in the racist attacks on South Asians and Arab Americans. All that critical information was denied our listeners because of this extremely arbitrary and narrow-minded censorship on the part of the management. They tried to browbeat my co-host into banning me selectively from our collective. Fortunately, my collective has strong principles, and they completely refused. So we have been back on air for the last couple of months. However, as you heard, award-winning African-American producers and arts directors Anthony Sloan, Dred Scott Keyes have been banned and fired in the interim. 20-year veteran Bob Fass has been removed. Basir Mshawi doesn't know whether he's been removed or suspended or banned or what. David Rothenberg is in similar limbo. All the actions of Utrecht and currently Bob Daughtry have been nothing but destructive of the basic principle of Pacifica. Nothing but their removal would be the necessary first step to bringing back.
Thank you, Aniruddha.
Bringing us back to the progressive mission that WBAI and Pacifica stand for.
Aniruddha.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's it on the comments section. I know other people have lined up here, and I know other people on the list. We are moving now to the report from the WBAI committee. Let me explain what this is. Anthony McCall, where are you? He's going to be giving the report. One second. While he's coming up, again, on December 29th, when this board met by conference call, a resolution was passed setting up this committee. Because the judge did not act on it until Thursday, Thursday evening, the committee was in limbo. What happened was that the committee, as was mandated by the resolution, was to consist of four people from the board, that is the three New York members of the national board plus one other person, and up to five people from the local advisory board. And this group, was charged with investigating the situation WBAI and bringing recommendations to this board. After the December 29th conference call, people in New York, especially the people at the LAB, anticipating and hoping that the judge would rule in favor, began meeting and discussing and putting together an overview and their report, or their recommended report, on this question. On Thursday evening, the New York people met in New York. That is the lab people, Ray LaForest, Janice K. Bryan, and myself, as the three New York members of this national board, met. And I did send out an email message to the rest of the board members and faxed it to the one member who doesn't have email and apologized, and I, again, publicly apologized to people for the very short nature of the notice, but inviting anybody else from the board who wanted to join that committee to join us by conference call that evening. And unfortunately, that did not work out. The committee proceeded and put together a set of recommendations. It's an eight-point set of recommendations. Yesterday evening, when this board met, we passed out that package with supporting material, backup material, to everybody on the board, and sought and received the fourth member of the board to join us for a meeting of that committee today, and that was James Ferguson. Over lunch, we met. The full committee met, although Ray couldn't be with us. He had to be at the other committee that was meeting at the same time. We reviewed this, and again, I want to apologize to everybody on the board, and particularly to James Ferguson, for the extremely short notice in terms of being able to digest a whole lot of information and have his very, very important and legitimate questions answered, and that there just was not the fullness of time that he rightly needed and wanted to have, and I do apologize for that. Nonetheless, myself and other members of the committee felt that it was important to proceed and did vote out of that committee a set of recommendations. So that's backdrop. What's happening now is that Anthony McCall, a member of the New York lab, who was one of the five selected by the lab to sit on that committee, is sitting up here at the table and will read the recommendations to this board. When Anthony is done, the board will then move into questions, comments, discussion, and before we convene tonight, action on these. That is, we will vote these recommendations up or down. So I want to turn it over to Anthony now. Again, I implore, beg, plead, urge, request, demand that people be quiet and let him read the whole eight. Now, we have one other thing. The Union Hall here, which has been very generous, we had originally planned to adjourn by 5 today. It's now almost 5. It's 5:25. They are insisting that we leave by 6:30. So we have an hour here. I would like us to get as far as we can. Obviously, if we don't complete this business, we'll carry it over to tomorrow morning. But I'd like us to get as far as we can. We can get a lot further if we're not interrupted. And I mean the shouts and the applause are as much of an interruption as anything else. So please, hold tight if you can. Okay, so, Anthony, thanks.
Thank you very much. Interim board members and sister and brother listeners, supporters of the Pacifica Network. It is on behalf of the WBAI committee that I offer these remarks and will in a few moments make comments on our resolution. We participate with pleasure and encouragement in this historic gathering of our Pacifica community. You, of course, know the community of which I speak. It is a community of hundreds of thousands, millions of people who over 50 years or more have listened and to the broad progressive message of Pacifica. We are a community that is diverse, yet we must greatly increase in that diversity. It has become cliche to say that a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, we who have struggled to regain our network and our station, our radio folk, who understand that over the airwaves, some of our best broadcast journalists can create imagery of a thousand pictures in our mind's eye. In the brief recording that we will now present, we will hear and see what life within WBAI has been like under the hijackers, in their own words. Because of the time constraints, we had several pieces that we were going to play. We'll only play two very brief pieces.
Please, thank you. Can we hear them?
These pieces were produced by Dred Scott Keyes, one of the many award-winning activists who've been banned and kept off the air, of course.
Ready? Otherwise, we really need to move on.
Do we have those? Yes or no? Okay.
Okay. I believe the technical setup isn't ready. So, Anthony, could you please get to the points, the 8 points?
Right. We have several other things that we wanted to say. Before we do the 8 points, we just need to let people understand a few things with respect to the claims that have been made that contextualize these. Please give me, Madam Chair, at least a minute to do
okay,
that.
Okay, I actually want to ask you to get to the point. I believe this board is prepared to take action today.
Yeah. WBAI, New York.
Okay. Anthony, okay, we're going to hear, if we would give Anthony the space to read all 8 points, just get them all out, and everybody on the board should have that in writing in front of them, or at least was given out last night.
As I begin to read this, it's just clear that, again,
Anthony,
we
please,
will not allow ourselves to be hoodwinked, hustled, or bamboozled. We must think clearly, and we're counting on this listening audience to do just that. The Interim Pacifica National Board resolves the following 8 resolutions. They were voted on successfully. There were 8 members of the 9-member group.
We went through that background already. You can just get to the issue.
And at this time, number 1, due to a succession of actions that violated longstanding Pacifica policy, undermined the mission of the foundation, and in the case of the refusal to broadcast Democracy Now! Since January 5, 2002, flagrantly defied the explicit IPNB directive of December 29, 2001, Robert Daughtry shall be immediately removed by the executive director as acting general manager of WBAI. The executive director, in consultation with the IPNB, can determine whether there are other positions at Pacifica that might be open to him. Number 2, all WBAI management employees and staff members, paid and unpaid, who were fired, banned, suspended, or otherwise removed beginning December 22, 2000, shall be immediately returned to the positions they held on that day. There's a detailed report attached to this. To effectuate the return of these individuals, the WBAI committee will review program and staffing developments over the last year and work with the new station management to implement appropriate adjustments. Any persons now occupying positions formerly held by such fired, suspended, or otherwise removed producers shall maintain the positions they held on that day, that is the 22nd of December. If such a person previously held no position, the committee shall explore the possibility of transferring that person to another suitable position for which they are qualified. 3, all banning orders are hereby lifted against any management employee, staff member, interim national board member, local advisory board member, listener, or volunteer. 4, the WBAI local advisory board will proceed in conjunction with WBAI staff representatives and in consultation with the executive director to design and implement a performance review procedure for WBAI general manager Valerie Van Isler, as had been planned before her termination was carried out in violation of Pacifica National Board policy. It is also recommended that a human resource specialist accompany the return of personnel to the station to devise and facilitate a process of healing and coming together amongst the staff. The committee will also study various creative administrative management schemes for the station, which such as management teams. Five, for an interim period to be determined by the WBAI committee, the station management will be required to seek pre-approval by a special committee for all hirings, firings, and other disciplinary actions, as well as the approval as approval of all union negotiations and contracts consistent with foundation policy. Six, the foundation will return to its original policy of voluntary recognition of unpaid staff under the protection of the National Labor Relations Act. In keeping with the long-standing practice at WBAI, the foundation recognizes paid and unpaid staff as employees and their right to seek union recognition under a common collective bargaining unit and to contract for their rights. Sufficient time will be permitted for staff to investigate the services that unions are willing to provide for the entire WBAI staff and to seek representation. The foundation thereafter agrees to begin good faith negotiations to contract for the terms and conditions of work at WBAI. Until a new union is selected by the paid and unpaid workers, the foundation agrees to abide by the terms of the last United Electrical Workers Local 404 contract for paid and unpaid staff, which expired October 31, 2001. Number seven, the WBAI lab shall be immediately permitted to hold its meetings, public and executive, at the station. In the spirit of healing and openness, the station management will cooperate fully with the lab in providing regular reports to and from the listeners and in giving regular fiscal and administrative data to the lab. Eight, the executive director shall work in cooperation with the WBAI committee to implement the policies listed above, as well as to resolve employee actions that have caused serious deterioration of program quality and workers' rights at the station. All committee decisions must be consistent with foundation policies as well as the law, and the committee shall seek legal advice as necessary. Thank you. These are the eight resolutions. We hope they meet with your approval. Madam Chair, as you know, the findings that led to these resolutions have been an ongoing process and one in which we feel that there has been extensive input from the listener community as well as from the staff, both paid and unpaid, fired, banned, etc. We trust that the board will respond accordingly.
Okay. Thank you. I want to thank Anthony and the committee. I should say also, though, I believe this is fair and accurate and important to share, that the full committee did not agree with this. There was one person who did abstain, and it had to do with the process, the lack of time to thoroughly absorb information, gather information, ask questions, probe the situation. So we do want to go on record that this was not a unanimous recommendation from the committee and that we do respect that one abstention. So the floor is open to members of the board for questions, comments, et cetera. George, I see, and then Jabari, and then Marion and James.
You said you wanted the union to represent the paid and unpaid workers. What about this gentleman who spoke yesterday, I believe, saying, you know, the union only represents people who are paid employees?
That would have been probably after, but that's not the union. As we indicated in the resolution, there are unions that do agree and recognize the right of unpaid as well as paid workers, and those would be the kinds of unions that we would identify and work with.
But that's not the current union
no.
represents.
Let me just
folks.
Clarify. The AFTRA represents national employees of Pacifica. UE used to represent the local workers at WBAI. And as was stated in the presentation, that contract ran out October 31st. Right now, there is no union representation, I believe, at WBAI. And so it's not the AFTRA union. My reading of this is that the committee, that there would be a process to determine who the union representation is, and that the recommendation here is to seek, that the staff would be able to seek representation that includes, a union that would include paid and non-paid workers. This is not volunteers. And this has been recognized in a former contract with UE Local 404 that was in place for 11 or 12 years. Okay, sorry. Jabari was next.
I just have a question on procedure because I want to propose a motion to enact the first of the suggestions. Are we to look at this as a total package, or are we going to vote on each one separately? Because I want to get straight to number one. In the interest of time, we have to get out at 6:30. I want to get straight to number one and propose a motion to, in fact, act on number one immediately.
Okay, you'll have to help me. I'm not familiar with Robert's Rules of Order. I really want to move that we accept the resolution in its entirety. How do I counter what Jabari just said? Tell me the right wording and I'll use it. Well, I don't accept the friendly amendment.
I second that we move the whole.
Okay, so there's a proposal, a motion that we accept the package as a whole. After discussion, this was not a cut-off discussion, but that we look at the whole and then vote it up and down and second for that. I just have to check one thing here. Okay, so is there discussion on the motion? The motion on the floor right now is to accept this proposal, these 8 points, as a package, right, to look at it as a package.
Madam Chairperson.
And not separate them out.
Point
on
of
that
order.
Point, Marion?
Point of order. This goes to the meeting itself in terms of what we do here. Was there written notice given to members of the board 7 days in advance of this meeting as to
yes.
time and place?
Yes. Yes, and this question was raised at the beginning of the meeting.
Where was it given and how? In what form?
When did you all get your notices? But I believe this is out of order. I'd like to finish
no,
the agenda
minute.
Item and then we can come back to this. This is out of order. The agenda item is the report from the WBAI committee. We can take up that question after we're done with this agenda item. It
well, Madam Chairperson, the reason I ask that is because if there was not 7 days' notice about the time, the specific time and place, as given in the bylaws.
Okay, the answer is
three.
Yes. The answer is yes.
How was it given?
Can we move on? It was given by decision of this board with all 15 members in attendance on December 29th when we voted on it. In addition, there was an email sent out that I sent out. Sorry, I don't have the date in front of me, but it was more than 7 days in advance asking for input on the agenda, with followed up by another email asking for further input on the agenda. Yes, on the question, the motion on the table right now is whether or not we look at these 8 points as a package.
Point of order. Point of order. Section 3 of the bylaws says written notice of every regular and special meeting of the governing board stating the time and place of said meeting and the purposes therein shall be mailed or delivered to each member of the board of directors at least 7 days prior to said meeting. I maintain that none of us got such a written notice 7 days before. Therefore, any actions we take will be illegal and will not be in keeping with the bylaws of this foundation.
Okay, duly noted.
Huh?
That has been duly noted. I assume the transcriber.
No,
that's
noted. I went minute, Madam Chairperson.
And we will proceed.
You
we discussed this last night. We discussed
well,
the legality of this meeting last night and have had a full day today, an evening last night, and a full day today, making decisions
We didn't make any major
decisions. To me, that qualifies as accepting the legitimacy of this meeting. Can we proceed with the items that are on the floor? Can we proceed with the items on the floor?
I move the agenda, Madam Chair.
If the ruling is that the meeting, the notice
I move the agenda.
And several of us on the board intend to on Monday go to court to contest that ruling.
That would be fine. That would be fine. Marion Barry has suggested that several members of the board may decide to go to court on Monday, back to the judge, to contest the legitimacy of this. That is your right. Many of us have been to court around Pacifica issues many times in these last 2 years. That is your right. That's fine. Can we proceed? The motion on the floor is whether or not to consider these eight motions as a package. And I'd like to vote on that. I'd like to vote on we're not voting on substance now. We're just voting on consideration of this as a package, or if we'll separate it and do it point by point. I'm sorry. Okay. Why don't we have one speaker for that motion and one speaker against that motion? And then we'll vote on it. Okay? So
All right.
We have one speaker for the motion, that is to consider this as an eight-point package.
I seconded Janice's motion to consider it as a whole. I believe that after a full year of deliberations, testimony, emails, documents that have been submitted to the members of this board of directors, both past and current, who have had access to as much information as they chose to pursue, that this committee had a long time, even though it was just recently constituted, to consider these matters thoroughly. And I think we should consider their recommendations as a whole, up or down.
Okay, one speaker against taking it as a package.
Leslie, I did sit in on the meeting, and I was the abstaining vote. And I abstained not because I disagreed with a lot of the things that were going on. I disagreed because I didn't have enough time to be able to grasp what was being contemplated. The notion that...
Quiet, please.
The notion that there are eight pieces to be bound together, I really believe that they need to be separated and we need to discuss each issue. Unless, of course, they're overlapping concerns, as I addressed in the meeting.
Okay, so I would like to call the question.
Call the
question. We had one speaker for and one speaker against. Go
I have a question. Can I ask a question? Point of order.
Okay.
Point of information. I have a question I'm assuming a duly appointed member of this board. I am not feeling as if I'm being given the same support as other members of this board. My understanding is there is legal counsel here who is talking to some members of the board. I need legal help. You can see I'm not even acquainted with Robert's Rules of Order. Now, I understand this gentleman here who has been advising you, Mr. Barry, and Mr. Daughtry with different ideas. I spoke to you earlier about the support staff, the secretary. They seem to be giving you all the support you want, and all I get from them is a smile. I'm very concerned. Okay. If there is legal advice being given to you.
I call the question, please. Call the question, please. Call the question, please.
If there's a simple yes or no to that question, can we?
I don't know how to respond.
Okay, then let's move on. The question is in call. We had one speaker for and one speaker against. Again, just to be clear, we're not now voting on substance. We're voting on the process here. The motion is to take the 8 points as to consider, discuss and consider, and then take action up or down on the 8 points. If you agree with that, you vote yes. If you don't, if you think that they should be taken separately, then you vote no. Okay, everyone's clear on what we're doing here. Okay, if we can do this. Okay, one more time, just so it's crystal clear. The motion that is on the floor is to consider the 8 points as a package. If you vote yes, that means that we're not cutting off discussion. Then there would be discussion about the substantive issues in those 8 points. But when it's time to take action, we would take action on the package of 8 points. If you support that, you vote yes. If you don't support that, if you think the way to approach this is by looking at point one and discussing it, then voting, looking at point two, discussing, and then voting, then you vote no. Okay, we're just voting on the process of how we're going to handle these 8 points. Okay, is everyone clear? Okay, so now we're going to do a roll call vote. Okay, so all those in favor of the motion, which is to take it as a package. Teresa Allen.
Yes, I vote that we.
Okay,
as a package.
George Barnstone.
I vote no. Each one individually.
Okay, then no, that's fine. Marion Barry.
No.
No. Pete Bramson.
Yes.
Yes. Janice K. Bryant.
Yes.
James Ferguson. No. David Fertig.
Yes.
Ray LaFosse.
Yes.
Bert Lee. No. Rob Robinson.
Yes.
Carol Spooner.
Yes.
Jabari Zakia. Yes. And Leslie Kagan, yes. So I believe that motion passes. She's counting up the votes.
All right. The motion passed 9-3, which is a 2/3 majority. We will now consider the recommendation as a whole.
Right. Now we consider the recommendation on the whole. So, again, it's open to the board, the members of the board, to discuss. Now, to do this, you know, we again, it's 10-6. We have to be out of here. The meeting has to adjourn at 6:30. So let's proceed in an orderly fashion on these points. Any comments?
Point of order.
From, yes.
Does this resolution require a balanced majority vote? No.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Does this resolution require a balanced majority vote?
Balanced majority, or 2/3?
Yes. All votes by this body, all votes, not only this one, so this one is included, required to pass, according to the settlement agreement, either 2/3 of those present and voting or a balanced majority. Either one will carry it.
Okay.
We have of the 13... Of the 13 people here, 9 people then would be 2/3 to carry it, or a balanced majority, which could be, that would be 8 people, I guess. Okay. Okay, so comments by members of the board. Pete, can we get Pete a mic?
In that we do not have an interim director, and there's some language that empowers the interim director to take action, how would this body describe our action to go around without an executive director?
My understanding is that on the kind of actions that are in here, and again, this is my understanding, somebody might correct me if I'm wrong, that on the kinds of actions that are in here, they can be taken either by an executive director, interim or permanent, or by motions of the board. Given that we don't have an acting or permanent executive director, that we can take such actions. That is my understanding of how we function. And also, according to, I believe, California Corporation Code, that the board is the highest decision-making body of the entity, of the organization, and so has that authority to pass such resolutions. Yes, James. Yes, James.
Madam Chair, that creates a conflict because it also says that we are not to run the day-to-day operations of the foundation. So...
Carol and then Jabari.
In the absence of an executive director, we must run the day-to-day operations of the foundation. Otherwise, there's no one in control. Therefore, until we get an executive director, either acting, interim, or permanent, this board is running and managing this foundation.
Okay.
Isn't it on the agenda?
Sorry, Janice. Jabari was next, and then Janice. Okay,
I believe it's on the agenda that we'll discuss the executive director tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but now, at this point, while this item is on before us, there is no executive director to turn such things over to. Okay, other comments or questions or points that people want to raise?
I call the question.
Wait, David, I think, wanted to say something. Yeah, on the 8 points, on any part or the whole.
Absolutely. I do have two concerns, and I think that while they might appear nitpicky, I am a lawyer, so I'm anal, all right? Live with it. But the fact is I'm an employment law attorney. I have been litigating employment law cases for 14 years, and frankly, I think as a board member it's my obligation to, for example, note at Proposal 4, the characterization after – If you look at line four after Ms. Van Eisler's name, quote, as had been planned before her termination was carried out, and most notably where it says in violation of Pacifica National Board policy, that may well have been the case, that it was in violation of policy. It may not have been. I am not, as a board member, in a position to pass a resolution saying that the entity to which I owe a fiduciary duty has violated its policies in terminating a person. I don't think it's necessary in order to effectuate the intent and quality and importance of this, but I think it's important just for legalistic purposes to have just that reference to having violated our own policy removed.
Are you suggesting that phrase section of the sentence be stricken?
Friendly
In violation of Pacifica National Board policy, that be stricken. Okay. Just for,
do you
again.
Do you accept that as a friendly amendment?
Certainly.
Okay.
And then also I have a concern relative to number six, where it references the last sentence, that until a new union is selected, that the local 404 contract, which expired in 2001, be abided. However, my understanding is, and I could be wrong, that there's already a union contract in place. I'm just concerned whether that would...
No,
so that's not conflicting with any existing contract?
Right. No.
That there is, my understanding is that there is no contract in place, and that this calls for abiding by the terms. It doesn't say abiding by the contract. There is no contract in place. So it's accepting the terms that were in that contract as the framework for management-staff relations.
Good. So I'm not that sharp on actual labor union contract issues.
It's the contract.
That's out of order. Please, I would really request people not to shout out.
Point of information?
Yes,
James.
As it relates to that, because I did want to ask a question through you to Dave.
Yeah.
He was right. Generally, it is common practice that if you're negotiating a contract that has expired, that you would extend it. So the question is this something that's in the works? Are we negotiating a contract? And if so, is that some language that we've talked about with them or what?
Well, I believe that there is not a present negotiation underway for that. So, again, this is... I think that my reading of this, my understanding of this, is not it's not saying this is the contract or we're extending the contract. It's saying there were terms in a contract that once existed. Those terms should be applicable, even though there is no contract.
Okay, but see, what's happening...
It's not bound by the contract.
Yeah, but what we're saying is that we are going to enter in a contract with these folks. It's implying that.
No.
Saying that until a new union is selected by the paid and unpaid workers, the foundation agrees to abide by the terms of the last UEW local 404 contract
right.
for paid and unpaid staff,
okay.
which expired October 31st. So
okay.
it sounds to me like what we're doing with this board action is extending the contract.
Carol, and then Jabari, and then Janice.
In the absence of a contract, we can agree, I believe, to be bound by the terms of the prior contract. We can say we're not in a contract with them, but until we negotiate a contract with some union, we will abide by the terms of the old contract.
Well, can I?
Yes, go on, James. Go on, James.
Because I have no problems with the notion of a contract being extended if, in fact, it is agreed upon. But perhaps, Dave, you have some experience. Madam Chair, if you allow.
Well, I know Jabari wanted to speak to the same point.
Okay.
So let Jabari speak to this also.
Okay. Let
me disclaim any expertise in the context of actual labor union matters. While I've done negotiations in the past, I've been in unions a great deal of my life, I am not an expert on union matters, union contracts, negotiations.
Okay.
I do not have information in front of me about the status of union contracts.
Might we, if I can... lend a friendly amendment until such time that we